So do you remember Sugar Baby Riri-chan? She was almost an obsession with for this podcast for quite a while because she had one of the more interesting stories. Not only was she scamming men out of tons of money, she was also actually proactive enough. She wrote a book on how to scam men and sold that on the internet. And that actually ended up being her downfall because the people she sold the book to didn't really follow the steps the way they were supposed to, and they ended up saying like, "Oh well, I shouldn't take responsibility for the fact that I scammed this guy. I got this book from this other chick. You should blame her." And that was her downfall. She made $1 million easy off these three guys that she scammed, the three sort of big fish that she caught, the whales, as the mobile industry would call them. She had $1 million. And she spent most of that on hosts. So she would go to host clubs and spend all her money. She was arrested and has just been prosecuted. So her sentence has come down. Prosecutors wanted 13 years in prison and a 12 million yen fine. Now, she had 155 million yen from her scam. So I was actually thinking, like, proactively, if she had kept the money, saved the money, put the money away, hid the money, or something like that, when she gets out of prison, if she paid the 12 million yen fine, she'd still actually have 100 million yen. Pretty good nest egg to set yourself up with. I'm not saying, again, crime pays, but it certainly doesn't pay if you don't save any of the money. I guess, again, it's sort of sensible fiscal responsibility for criminals is not really what I should be talking about. The judge said this was an especially heinous crime because she encouraged other people to commit the same crime. So she's like, "I'm scamming people. I'll teach you how to scam people. We'll scam more people. Everyone will get scammed. It's great." And he's like, "Well, that's actually pretty evil if you think about it. What you're doing is trying to teach people how to break the law." The final sentence was an 8 million yen fine and 9 years in prison. So she's 25. She's going to get out of prison when she's 34. I don't know what kind of job prospects she'll have at that time, but she certainly won't have 100 million yen sitting waiting for her because she spent it all on hosts. And I'm sure those hosts in 9 years are not going to put a great deal of effort into supporting her back the way she supported them. I don't have a lot of sympathy for Riri-chan, but it is sort of an interesting case of watching someone really reap what they've sown. Their own inability to think forward has really come to roost for her in this case. So I'll set a calendar date and see if I can follow up in 9 years when she gets out of prison. We can see how Sugar Baby Riri-chan is actually doing. Today's stories are all about crimes and courts and crimes and courts and crimes and courts. I'm trying to, if you listened to last week's episode, you know I have family in town. So I am carving out this time to make sure that I don't lose any sort of momentum. I missed a couple weeks. I don't want to lose a month. So I'm forcing myself to do it. So I just want you to know that I'm here, dedicating myself to you. I'm actually neglecting my family that's in town right now just so I can record this episode super quick. So the courts are coming correct in Japan. 9 years in prison for scamming dudes, that's a pretty solid sentence. And the 12 million yen fine, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of money. The operator of a pirate manga website has been fined 1.7 billion yen that he has to pay to three separate publishers. So he had this website, it was the biggest manga pirating website in the world. It was accessed 500 and some million times or something like that. And so they had calculated how much money the publishers would have lost by not selling books to the people who are on that website. Now, we know that's not actually how it works, but I guess if you're going to create a punishment for pirating, this is a fairly sensible logistic to base it on. This is the largest fine of its kind. So this is a first in history, which is why it became interesting. The actual story itself, guy sets up pirate website, guy gets arrested, guy has to pay a big fine. It kind of writes itself. You don't really need to say much about it. The morality of pirating, it's here or there. It's up to you. I mean, I'm not going to judge people for it. I live in Japan, so I can't get a lot of the Western media I want. Streaming services are super expensive. I understand why people pirate. I really do. Also, I understand paying for stuff because if I had the money, I would pay for everything generously, but that's not always the case. The defendant told reporters that he was unconvinced by the ruling. So the judge is like, "You owe 1.7 billion yen to these three publishers because of ABC." And he's like, "I don't know if that's correct. I don't think you get to be unconvinced by the ruling. This was a more interesting aspect of this. Like, we had the mayor of Guinan who got booted out, had to quit. And he, in his apology, was like, you know, I did sexually harass a whole bunch of ladies, but I don't really know what I'm in trouble for. I don't really know what I'm apologizing for. Like, did I do anything wrong? And everyone's like, yes, you sexually harassed people. He's like, yeah, but did I? And they're like, yes, you did. This guy's like, yeah, I pirated some manga. Does that hurt anybody? And they're like, yes, the companies that make the manga. And he's like, yeah, but should I pay a fine? They're like, yes, 1.7 billion yen. He's like, really? Is that how much? It's an interesting set of mental gymnastics, because at this point, he's still basically saying he's not responsible for the actions he took. But he also said he has no regrets setting up the website. But I think after you pay the 1.7 billion yen, you might have a regret or two. 75-year-old man is taking a walk in a park. Very nice thing for a 75-year-old man to do. There's some kids playing soccer in the park. Very nice thing for the kids to do. Park is a shared space. Everyone should have a good time there. I think old people should enjoy the park. I think young people should enjoy the park. I walk Dave in the park. I enjoy my park near my house. So parks are a great place. The old man, the 75-year-old man, walks up to the kids and he goes, is this your trash? So he sees some trash on the ground. Is this your trash? And the kids look at him and say, no. Now, you know, this is not the end of the conversation. And it's because, like, you know old people and you know kids. And you know how this interaction goes. But at the same time, it's a surprise how far it goes. There's the logic that kids employ, which I enjoy very much in this conversation. So is this your trash? No. And then the 75-year-old man says, even if it isn't, if you see trash on the ground, you should pick it up and then throw it in the bin. Now, I knew without even reading the next part what the kid said in response. I knew because I bet it was the thing I would have said as a child to an old person giving me instructions who has no real authority over me. This is one of the interesting aspects of authority. People's authority over you often is perceived, not real. And when you realize that, you can decide if you give them authority or not. So these kids are saying, the 75-year-old man's telling them what to do. And they're like, well, I don't know who you are. I have no respect for you. You haven't earned my respect. So I'm going to respond in the most reasonable way possible. He says, if you see trash on the ground, you should pick it up and throw it away. And they say to him, why don't you just pick it up and throw it away? Now, the reason this story has made it to Ninja Japan is because of the next set of actions that has occurred. And the gentleman who's 75 years old thinks, well, what's the most reasonable response? They've actually presented me with a logic problem. I have said, if people, in this case specifically you children, see trash on the ground, your moral responsibility is to pick it up and throw it in the trash. You should throw it away. I've told them to do that. And they've said, why don't you lead by example? Why don't you yourself, instead of bothering us, pick up the trash and throw it in the garbage? And he's now got like a moral conundrum. Does he bend to the will of the children and demonstrate that he's telling the truth, that picking up the trash and throwing it in the garbage and showing them? That is not what he chose to do. Does he berate them? Does he tell them, like, you know, respect your elders and this kind of stuff? That is all, again, conceptual. It's not real. Like, the respect your elders thing, I don't give a lot of credence to that, because for all I know, my elders are all like evil people. So you don't want to respect them. You got to know who they are, but you got to know who someone is before you show them respect. I think that's fair. So he does the only final thing when he's been caught in a logic trap by a child. He hauls off and punches an elementary school girl in the face. And I'm laughing because the girl's not hurt. I mean, I'm sure it hurt, but, you know, 75-year-old dude, he's not swinging hard anymore. One of the girl's friends has a smartphone, because these are modern children, calls the police and says, this dude just like cranked my friend in the face. Please come arrest him. He gets arrested and he says, well, I didn't punch anyone in the face. I did warn them. And did you warn them though? Because the sort of transcript of this conversation has no warning involved in it. It's just, here is a moral quandary I present you with. And the children were like, well, the moral quandary is just as much yours as it is ours. Why don't you demonstrate how to alleviate the moral issue through an example of your own behavior? And that's when he decided to just punch a girl in the face, a little girl. I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. It actually reminds me of a bunch of stories when I was like a teenager and adults were really rude to me. And I kept thinking, like, I actually now feel like I shouldn't respect adults, which is an interesting place to live in. And it's probably the basis for my a disregard of any authority whatsoever from now until I die. Okay, there was a new scam out in Japan. So the Metropolitan Tokyo Police are... It's the Metropolitan Police Department, anyways, the MPD, the Metropolitan Police Department. This is the cops in Tokyo. They're actually trying to warn people of this new scam that has emerged. That in itself, again, quite interesting. You get a phone call, and the phone call is like, hey, I'm a policeman, and I'm telling you that there's a warrant for your arrest. And you go, oh, no, there's a warrant for my arrest? I don't want to be arrested. Certainly not. I don't think I've done anything that would justify a warrant for my arrest. And so what they do is say, well, let's confirm that this is you and there is a warrant for your arrest. There is a warrant for your arrest. Go to this website. Now, here's the trick. It's not a real website. And the person you're talking to, not a real police officer. So they send you to this fake website and you have to put in a certain amount of information to get into the website because, you know, it's going to search for your details. So you have to give a certain amount of details so it can search. From those details, it builds a fake arrest warrant, just like sort of it generates one on the fly and then presents it to you as a real arrest warrant. Now, you can get rid of this arrest warrant. You can pay just a fine. So you can just pay the fine and then the arrest warrant will go away. That seems like a pretty good deal if you don't want to have an arrest on your record. Then you will get a second phone call, a follow-up phone call from aforementioned, not real police officer. And he'll say, like, do you want to pay the fine or do you want to come in and get arrested? But they do tell you that you can pay money and you can have the warrant removed. The most suspicious part, this actually kind of makes sense. If a cop calls you and says there's a warrant for your arrest and then you go to a website and then you go to that website and then you see an arrest warrant, it pretty much confirms a lot of the suspicions that you have that this might be actual factual information. The interesting part to me and the most suspicious part, the part where it would fall apart, is they send you the website via social media. They don't send it to your an email account. And I'm guessing because maybe that could be backtraced. So it'd be like on Twitter or Instagram or some other social media website, they will send you the link on that so that then you can access the website. So there's something suspicious there. The cops using social media to contact you and talk to you on official business seems suspect in itself. So that to me would be the big red flag. But it's actually pretty small if you think the overall of what's happened. You've gotten a phone call, you're being sent to a website, you put in your information, that information confirms that what the phone call said is true. It all looks very official. And then you get a follow-up phone call just saying you can pay a certain amount of money and this will go away. I think it'd be pretty easy to fall for that scam. So that's actually a pretty well put together scam. They're trying to warn people, which I think is pretty good. Sometimes they ask for your bank details. So if they get your bank details, they're actually going to try to drain your bank account as well. So if you live in Japan, you get a phone call. The best part about being a foreigner in Japan is I think I've actually received scam phone calls and they try to talk to you, but then I just keep talking to them in English because usually they're speaking in Japanese. It's honestly just too hard for me. So I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't say that in Japanese anymore. I only speak in English on the phone. And that really puts them off because it's like, they can't scam me if I can't understand what they're saying. They can't scam me if they can't convince me of anything, and they can't convince me of anything because they cannot talk to me. So this actually is really a big advertisement for English education in Japan, because if you really want to scam more people, you got to learn multiple languages. 27-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of assault. Now, I do love in every article, they never say he was arrested for assault. They always say suspicion because he hasn't been convicted yet. So the details of this are what makes the suspicion of assault quite funny. So at 7 p.m., a delivery company guy, he just goes into the police station and he walks around for a bit and he walks up to a sergeant. And the guy's 41-year-old sergeant, and the sergeant looks at him quite pleasantly. I'm going to pretend to assume. I have no idea. Maybe he was very brusque. When I went to the DMV in Japan, they were very rude to me at first. And then I was not a problem and they actually turned around and were very nice to me. So they needed that initial brusqueness that I managed to wear down, which was quite good. He said, "What can I do for you?" So I see that phrase and I'm like, oh, he's, you know, do you need help? Can I help you? The delivery driver, he comes in and he goes, I don't know. And then he punches the policeman in the face. He was arrested on the spot and then questioned. The interesting aspect of this, as I said, is he's been arrested for suspicion of assault, despite the fact he assaulted a police officer in a police station. It's going to be on video. Like, I'm sure it's on video. There is no suspicion there. Unless, of course, the police officer's like, this is a misunderstanding or something, and then decides not to prosecute or let him go, because then he's not being arrested for assault. So I guess suspicion does make sense. I've now gone full circle and convinced myself that we should say suspicion until it's concluded, which is actually the case. That's what they're doing in Japan. But the news articles always say, like, here's a mountain of evidence. We suspect he did the thing. While being questioned, he said, I'm sorry for doing that. And that in itself is not a big surprise, because I bet he is sorry for punching the policeman in the face and getting arrested right away. Next week is Golden Week. It's going to be like 50-50 of getting an episode out. But I'm going to make notes. And then if I can sit down and just carve out half an hour, I'm going to record at least one or two podcasts next week. So I will be trying. I just want you to know again that I'm trying to not give up. Is that it? I know if I took a month off, it'd be really hard to get started again. So even this like short episode is worth doing. I think all this is just going to get cut and I'll just do the end song. Yeah, I'm just trying to get my fucking life back together. I realize what it is I feel like we had this super busy time at work and I couldn't do the things I wanted. And then as soon as that ended, my family came and that takes up all your personal time. And I realize what I'm feeling is I've lost control of my life. I don't get to do the things I want to do because I have to sacrifice that for other things. And it leaves you in this weird position where it's like, I just want to have control over my own life. And I think this is what, you know, why people want to be rich. It's because it's not because like they're greedy or anything. It's just they want to have control over their time and their life. And that is certainly where I am right now.